Let's pray the chaplet. We will pray for our country. Let's pray for you, for your needs and your intentions. Let's just ask God for his mercy. All right, we need it. Our country needs it. I want to pray for Anthony Visco. I promise I would just pray for we'll lift him up and get so many intentions in here. We are praying for you. I promise you. I read these emails. Maggie sees them coming in on our Twitter and on our Facebook and on our YouTube. If you want to get your intention to her, it's at Drew Mariani Show. That's our X platform. And she'll put her eyes on it and give it some voice today. Or if you're going to stream us on YouTube or on Facebook, two great ways to watch the chaplet. You can post your intentions there, and Maggie will try to give them some voice too. Of course, send me your answer prayers, drew@relevantradio.com. drew@relevantradio.com. Mark it answered prayer, and I'm going to share a couple of those today. But I want to pray for Kamala Harris and President Biden, and for this campaign that they're on across our country right now, championing the culture of death. I want to ask God for mercy on our country, for the conversion of our leaders. I want to pray for those who've gone before us, those souls in purgatory as well. And for those of you who are living in the past, I was thinking about this. I have a sister who sometimes does this. She romanticizes the past. You know, she lives in the past. I think a lot of people do. Maybe you had a relationship. Maybe there was a part of your life that seemed more charmed and you're going through a difficult time today. Or maybe you're that type of person who can't wait to forget the past and get out of the present because you're always looking at tomorrow. When I retire, I'm going to do this. When I get married, I'm going to do that. When I have one more kid, I'm going to do this. It's always about the future. In this journey in life, we often find ourselves caught between, the echoes of the past and the whispers of the future. And I was thinking about the present moment. I think it's so important that you live in the present moment. What did the Lord tell us in Matthew 6, right? He says, don't worry about tomorrow, right? Don't worry about it. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Every day has enough of its own, has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry about tomorrow, right? Don't worry about the past. You can't change it. Live in the present moment. St. Teresa of Avila, she said the same thing. She once brought up the statement where she says, where she wrote, let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you. Everything passes away, right? But God never changes. He is there with you. So live in that present moment today. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about those mistakes you made. Don't worry about the future and all the problems that you think loom maybe in it or the hopes and aspirations. Live in this moment because you don't know how much time you have. Living in the present moment's not an escape from reality. It's really an embrace. It's putting your trust in God in that very moment. And I'm going to do that right now. It's a walk. Life is a walk in faith. It is. It's to trust God and his providence and his timing. He's going to take care of tomorrow, so don't worry about it. Trust God today. If peace evades you, thank God for the present moment, for what you have and where you're at right now. Don't worry about tomorrow, right? Live in the present moment, savor that, and open your heart to the peace and joy that God wants to give you today. All right, let's pray right now for you. Maggie is joining me. Maggie, anything you want to start off with before we begin the novena?
I do have.
The chaplet, I should say.
I've got a couple of intentions, Drew. We didn't get to touch on this in our news roundup, but there are more kidnappings of Christians in Nigeria. And I just was looking at International Christian Concerns website, and they say that terrorist groups have kidnapped about 687 people in northern Nigeria week alone. It's that militant Islamic group Boko Haram that's back up to their no good tricks, antics.
You remember the bishop there had a vision in which Jesus appeared to him with a sword, and he said to the bishop, with this, Boko Haram will be gone. And three times he pointed the sword and he said, Boko Haram will be gone, Boko Haram will be gone, Boko Haram will be gone. And that sword turned into the rosary. And the bishop began praying the rosary. And at the time, there were a number of nuns or there were a group of orphanage kids. I forget what the situation, they were all kidnapped. These young girls were released and Boko Haram left a particular area. So, who knows what's going on right now, but I think the rosary and the chaplet, we're going to prayer is what's going to help remedy that. But I always remember that story.
Yeah, so please keep the people of Nigeria in your prayers. Also, our colleague John Morales texted. He said, my cousin Fernando down in Bogota, Colombia, is having surgery today to remove a mass on his pancreas. And I just got a text also from a friend of the show, Pete Tomaselli.
Oh, yeah.
He said, please add my mom, Marianne, to the chaplet. She will likely be with the Lord soon.
Oh, Pete, I'm sorry to hear that.
And he said, she's been faithful to the end.
God bless her. It's hard to lose a mom. I say it all the time. Let's pray. We'll pray for you. Let me share one follow-up. There was a woman who called into the show, and she was worried. I don't know if you remember this call. It was a couple of weeks ago, I think, where she was worried about somebody paying their account in full. She wrote to me, and she says, I went to Adoration this morning. I prayed for our Lord to open the hearts of the people who needed to make their payment to my friend's business. This guy couldn't afford not to have it. It was like $7,000 or something. She says, I was sent a text message that the payment just came in within the hour. God heard my prayers and answered yes. He called me. The man paid $7,000. His account is now paid in full. All I could say was, thank you, Lord. Jesus, I trust in you. She says, never stop praying. I'm with you. We'll do it now. We'll pray for those intentions, those needs, those situations that look difficult and impossible. We'll ask God for his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. No blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
No blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
No blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we will take our first call today. This comes from Kay, praying with us in New Jersey. Hi, Kay.
Good afternoon. My name is Kate, and I'm asking for a miracle for my friend, Michael Apes. Okay. He's a father of two small kids, and he has cancer, and the cancer is spreading for all his body. Yeah. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, Kay. Thank you for praying with us, and let's give the Lord cancer. Right now, I mean, I have so many people who are now praying with us carry a very similar cross. Lord, I pray, of course, for the family members who have to take care of those with cancer. It can be a great cross for them, too, to watch somebody they love suffer this way. And I pray for protection over those of us who do not have cancer, Lord, that you protect us from this wicked disease. And we just ask for your mercy for the eradication of it as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Minnesota is up next. Anne is praying with us there. Hi, Anne.
Good afternoon. I'm asking for a request for a friend, Jim, and his family. He is had heart valve issues, and also he had hemorrhaging in the brain. So things are not looking good at all right now. They're, and he's only 63. They're expecting that he won't make it.
He's young. Well, let's pray for a miracle, and thank you for your call. Let's pray for you and for all of your particular intentions as well. The Lord told St. Faustina in Diary Entry 294, he says, encourage souls in which you come in contact with to trust in my mercy. That's what I'm going to do. Trust in the Lord's mercy. He says, I love these souls. Love souls that have complete confidence in me. I'll do everything for them. So, Lord, I know sometimes it's hard to trust, and sometimes it's hard to have faith in difficult moments. But I know you're always there. We give you this present moment. We give you those who are approaching death. If it's your will to bring them home, Lord, then meet them as a merciful Savior. But I also pray for miracles so they can testify to your great and unfathomable mercy, to the power of this prayer, to the promises you gave to St. Faustina, to those who would turn to your mercy through the chaplain. So I intercede for all those now crying out to you as I pray, Eternal Father. I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call, before we go to Karen, who's calling us in Wisconsin, we'll get right to you. Let me jump over to Maggie. She is on our X platform, and you can send her a post at Drew Mariani Show. And please follow us on all of our social media, the Drew Mariani Show on Facebook. You can also watch us on YouTube at Relevant Radio. I think they have a channel there, and the show is on that as well. So follow the chaplet and share it with others and pray with us. Maggie, what is coming and what kind of intentions do we need to pray
so
for?
So many intentions, Drew. Rita wrote to us on X. She said, please pray for my mother, Guadalupe. She went to live with the Lord Jesus about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. She's greatly missed. Thank you for all you do. We got a note from a fellow named Keith. He says, I'm from Mesa, Arizona. Our brother from our church named Brandon became very ill. His days are limited, and he's in need of a miracle. Susan wrote to us. She said, hi, Drew and Maggie. I'm asking for prayers for my friend Vanessa. She's 3 months pregnant and is suffering from depression. She has no emotional or financial support from her boyfriend as he is addicted to meth.
Oh, boy, it's a tough one.
Yikes. Eugene wrote to us. He said, please pray for my sister, Anne. She had surgery to remove a brain tumor 1 week ago. She has a feeding tube in her stomach because she can't swallow. The doctors say she will have to have the tube for the rest of her life.
Pray for a miracle for her.
She's depressed and... Yeah.
Can I just share something on that point, Meg?
Yes.
It made me think of what Bishop David Ricken had told me, and I hope I don't get the story totally wrong. But there was a couple like that were bringing their daughter to a hospital in Wisconsin. They were coming from Iowa or Kansas City or somewhere, and they heard of Our Lady of Good Help, or Our Lady of Champion, in Champion, Wisconsin, mm-hmm. the only church-approved apparition site. And the feeding tube for their daughter came out as well as she was approaching this place. And the father says, we got to get her immediately to the hospital. Got to go there right now. And the mother says, we are here at this shrine. We're going to go before the Blessed Mother. Her own daughter, now having this terrible complication,
wow.
chose to go before Our Lady there. And as they went down and they prayed for her intercession and for healing, the hole, supposedly, that this tube had come in had just completely closed up. And she was miraculously healed.
Oh, my goodness.
God can heal anything. Doctors tell you need this tube the rest of your life. Yeah. If it's God's will, if we pray, miracles can happen, right? Amen. I think of the widow's son who was dead and how Christ raised that child from the dead because he had mercy and compassion for that poor widow. Let's pray for this person now and for all those intentions. But what else is coming in?
Just a couple more, Drew. Rita wrote to us. She said, please pray for newborn baby Dylan, who has brain damage resulting from complications during childbirth. She gets an MRI today, praying that God completely heals her and that the MRI shows no damage. Jesus, we trust in you. Mm-hmm. Our producer Tom sent me a message just now. He said, can you guys include my wife's friend and coworker Joan in the chaplet today? She was taken to the hospital with swelling and fluid around her heart and her lungs. And lastly, on a good note, Miranda, our call screener, just told me that her friend's sister, Rachel, has been expecting and was preparing to give birth in the hospital, but sort of unexpectedly had a home birth.
Wow.
Baby boy, Logan, came into the world healthy, and she sent me a picture.
That had to be a pretty fast delivery, huh?
I bet.
That's so funny. You know, my sister was just like that. I remember when her water broke, it was, if you weren't at the hospital, you're going to be delivering that baby in the car, right?
I mean, it actually sounds like good luck.
And so many women go through long bouts of labor.
Yeah.
My own wife did, but who knows what God is in store for you, man.
I have
no
idea.
Your first
idea.
One's coming. Yeah, we'll pray for you too.
To be continued.
Let's pray for all pregnant mothers. Let's pray for any mother and any man that made the mistake of aborting a child. It's hard. I just want you to know how much God loves you, how great his mercy is. I cannot stress that enough. Accept it, you know, accept his mercy. And Lord, I pray for an end to the culture of death and for all those intentions that have come in. We'll add Karen to the mix here. She's praying with us in Wisconsin. Hi, Karen.
Good afternoon. I just wanted to pray for all those that are divorced, mm-hmm. and also for all parents that are estranged from their children, adult children. I've been estranged from my daughters for 12 years, and I've never met my grandchildren. So I just wanted people to understand that there's hurt and there's pain there as well, and I'm asking for healing of my whole family.
Well, Karen, my heart breaks for you. I cannot imagine that rupture with one's children like that. I can't, and how painful it must be for you. And I'm truly sorry, but I also believe in the power of this prayer and what the Lord said. This is one of those things that the Lord wants. He wants you reconciled with your children. He wants children reconciled with their parents. And anything we ask of the Lord through this prayer, he says it'll be granted if it's according to his will. And I really believe that that is the case. I know you're suffering. And, you know, St. Faustina, she wrote in her diary that suffering is the greatest treasure on earth, that it purifies the soul. And she says, if we only knew, and your reward is going to be great in the next life. If you're suffering right now and you're praying with me, he said the same Faustina wrote. She says, if the suffering soul only knew how it was loved by God, it would die of joy from excessive happiness. We don't see it from where we are right now, but from the other side of the veil, someday, she says, you will understand, you will know the value of your suffering. So don't squander it if you're suffering right now. Embrace it. Offer it to the Lord. She goes, there'll be a day when you will no longer be able to suffer. Lord, I give you the suffering. Please, I beg you to hear the prayers of this mother and all those who are now carrying crosses. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Oh boy. Our next call comes from Irma. She is praying with us in Brownsville, Texas. Hi, Irma. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for My intention is for my brother, younger brother, Enrique.
Yeah.
He's a transplant recipient, and we've been blessed that he received a kidney and a pancreas. But lately, everything he's went through medically, he's been dealing with depression for the last, 5 years. And now he's having gastrointestinal issues. And I worry about him because we no longer have our parents.
I'm sorry.
And the other person that I wanted to pray for was my cousin, Danny Avila, who's younger than me, and he's dealing with kidney cancer. And the last thing I guess that I was listening was for my marriage with my husband. I've been blessed. He's helped me be a caretaker to both my parents and my brother, and just to bless our marriage.
A beautiful prayer, Irma. We're praying for you. Hang in there. All right. We'll pray for your cousin Danny, who's battling that kidney cancer. And Lord, today it seems to be a reoccurring attention. I pray against cancer. I just ask you in your mercy to allow many miracles to take place. So in that inbox of mine, I see answered prayer, and people tell me how the scans came back. The cancer's disappeared. The tumor has shrunk. They can't believe the progress. Doctors are amazed. Lord, I ask that of you today for many, many answered prayers when it comes to cancer. I do want to pray for those battling depression, or those who are suffering from anxiety disorders, those who are dealing with drugs and self-medicating. I want to pray for those in troubled marriages, and I want to ask you also to fortify those in good marriages, Lord. Send graces to these particular souls, Lord, as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Debbie is joining us today from the Windy City in Chicago. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to add to all the requests for prayers for cancer patients. I know many of them from my parish. And one specifically is Paul, and one is my neighbor, Jeff, who is suffering from the treatment. He can't keep food down. And I'd like to ask for a cure to be discovered for cancer, to
Amen.
Get it off the planet. And also for a young man named Vince, who suffered wrist damage due to a rotator cuff surgery, so his wrist is drooping. So I'd like to ask for those prayers.
Debbie, thank you. I share your prayer petition. I pray for the eradication of the disease. I do that frequently. You know, we look at how many other diseases historically have been so pervasive, and thanks to science, they're now gone. We just ask God, in his mercy, to allow cancer to no longer take the lives of so many. I want to add to your intention, Caroline, there's a pretty important intention coming in right now out of Portland, Oregon. Caroline, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Hi, Drew. I just wanted your prayers for a man that a senior that lives in a retirement home, and I just found out he wants to commit suicide. He has the medicine. He wants to do it on March 29th. And I didn't know whether to talk to him or what.
Yeah.
But I thought your prayers might help. And also my son that has an addiction, and he's going through some really rough times right now.
I'm sorry. I want to pray for you as a mom, as a mother. It's watching your child suffer like that. I'm so sorry. I know how heavy your heart must be. But my advice to you, Caroline, talk to this individual. Let him know life is worth living, that God has purpose, and there is tremendous merit in his suffering. It's a pathway to even greater holiness. Talk to the suicide prevention people. Maybe bring him some literature as well, and let's pray for him. We've got a couple days to keep praying, right? So we will put him on our Divine Mercy prayer list here. We'll pray that he chooses life. Lord, I give you all of these intentions that have come in, all those now united with me, all those on hold, all those who are praying wherever they may be, and we turn to your unfathomable mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world,
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Champion,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Saint, I'm trying to think of the saint for today.
It's a, Matilda?
It's Matilda. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Maggie. Saint Matilda.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Send Maggie those intentions, okay? Send me those answered prayers. And let's continue to pray for one another. God hears these prayers. Tomorrow, we're going to just share some answered prayers. There's so many of them coming in. Please send me them, okay? Drew@relevantradio.com. I'll be right back. Hey, today we'd like to thank Tammy, who is listening in Florida, for donating her 2016 BMW Z4. You can join thousands of other listeners in donating old vehicles, trucks, boats, and RVs by visiting relevantradio.com/car. That's relevantradio.com/car.
An Oklahoma veteran's family honored his final wishes, sending his ashes into
space, the final frontier.
Something the family of Ronald Stuckey said he always wanted because he was a huge Star Trek fan.
These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's such a great series, Star Trek. Loved William Shatner in that. It's an interesting piece of audio, though. Can you imagine having your ashes poured out in space? Some people might say, hey, I'd love to, right? Fox 23 in Tulsa mentioned it's now becoming an out-of-this-world trend, believe it or not. And thought we'd talk about burial, if we could, today. Maybe you have somebody you love. Do you have their ashes on the mantle? Are you thinking about, cremating them? How are you going to bury them? Some people are using all sorts of new treatments to dispose of the body. Some become fertilizer, sludge. We've talked about it. Some have even become diamonds. People wear their loved ones as jewelry. Do you remember hearing about a space vehicle that was supposed to go to the moon earlier this year? In January, a United Launch Alliance rocket. It was named Vulcan, I think it was Vulcan something, Vulcan Centaur, I think it was called. It was supposed to go to the moon, but there was a propellant leak that prevented it from landing and eventually had to return to the Earth, and it burned up in the atmosphere. But what most people don't know, little weird bit of news for you, there were human remains on board the lander. So the Wall Street Journal reported that there's this company called Celestis. It has a business of taking cremains of people and even their pets and putting them in small titanium capsules and getting them on board space vehicles, and they're deposited to be either on the moon or in outer space. And the cost for putting them on those vehicles range anywhere from $80,000 to $100,000 per kilogram, by the way, about 2.2 pounds. So I don't know. $100,000, send somebody to space. What's the church teach about that? How ethical, how moral is that? That TV reality series, Shark Tank, and when I heard about the story, I thought we really should talk about it. They had a couple of episodes last year. I don't know if you ever watched Shark Tank. People come up, they propose their idea, the investors get behind it. You know, sometimes they can become millionaires. Well, they had a couple episodes last year where one person proposed a business of taking people's ashes and turning them into collectible stones. So the person got a deal. I thought, oh, that didn't go. No, they got a deal to help them take it to market. There was another episode that saw someone try to pitch human remain composting systems. That one got turned down. But for some reason, you know, a lot of people are starting the late 20th century and now moving into the 21st century. They've gotten fed up with typical Western, burial practices. They're no longer content just to put their loved ones in the ground in expectation of the resurrection of the dead. And they become enamored with things like cremation and turning your loved one into compost or a diamond or to sludge, putting them in the sewer system. It's weird, some of the stuff that's happening. But the Catholic Church has a very different perspective on how the human body should be treated before and of course, after death. Robert Selig, he's the CEO of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. And he joins me today for some perspective. It's good to have him with us. Hey, Robert, thanks for your time. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi, Drew. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's a tough issue. I've been following these stories actually for quite a while now. You know, everything from sludge to being put into a diamond to jettisoning someone into space. Let's talk about the church teaches maybe a better way of doing this. Some people will cremate their loved ones and keep them on the mantle, or they want to spread them over Lambeau Field because they were Packer fans, or dump them somewhere in the ocean. I mean, you see a lot of this stuff. Why does it matter what we do with our bodies? You know, people are dead. People want to say goodbye to their loved ones or remember them in a particular way. What's the church teach, and why does it matter? Why does it matter what we do with our bodies after death?
Yeah, Drew, well, let me just start. So first off, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Service is my role. I work across the United States, actually operating over 50 Catholic cemeteries and funeral homes. As far as the Diocese of Honolulu to the Archdiocese of San Juan in Puerto Rico and dioceses in between. So, having spent 20 years serving the church and working with families, there is not one request that we don't hear about. And so you bring up I love your lead into this conversation because you covered the gamut of a lot of things that are actually happening out in the world today. And a lot of people aren't even aware of it. And so when it comes back to the church and what we teach, I think you actually can kind of go back to what people perceive that the church has taught just by looking at the way that we depict funerals in TV and media, right? And so the preference of the church has always been ground burial. As Christ was entombed, that was the tradition of the church for literally for 2,000 years. And it wasn't until just after Vatican II that the church approved cremation as a alternative approach. It wasn't the preference of the church. It was a secondary choice, but it was understood that, no one was refuting belief in the resurrection when they had the body cremated, which had been an early church experience where early Christians would be, their bodies would be burned in a sense to refute belief in the resurrection. So you can kind of see the evolution of the church with burial to then allowing for cremation. And so really what you illustrated was that there's all new technologies and people are trying to apply new technologies to burial practices. And so the church needs to kind of speak out as to why we believe what we believe and then how these practices may kind of, cause some conflict and confuse people.
Yeah, I think it's great. If you cremate your loved ones, I know a lot of people are doing that economically, cost-wise, it's hard sometimes to go through a burial of the casket and economies can be tough, but the church still does require we place them in hallowed ground. I know people who've kept them on the mantle or, dumped the ashes somewhere else. And, very early on, I know the church made burial its only method for the disposition of those remains. And it forbid cremation for a while. What motivated that change? Why did things change?
Well, you know, first off, I think the church recognized that as cities and societies grew, that even our Catholic cemeteries, or little parish cemeteries, might run out of land, and so you had challenges. The church recognized that cremation was an alternative form of disposition, but that and actually probably our struggle was that all of a sudden it was changing the liturgy of the church to say goodbye to a loved one, because all of a sudden you could have the body cremated. It took us a period of 10 to 15 years to figure out in the church how to go about having a proper funeral liturgy. You know, the preference is to have the body present, you know, even if you're choosing cremation, have that present at a funeral mass in church, and to do the cremation after, right? Well, then, you know, there was, and so for a period of time, when somebody would do the cremation first and didn't have the funeral yet, the church didn't even know exactly how to handle the remains reverently within the sanctuary. So it took us a period of time in the church to kind of legislate this, right? And so that might seem slow in today's kind of fast-paced world. And yet what we were really trying to do is, hey, say, look, the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And so understanding that the sacred nature of the body, the way that we handle and the body and the remains when we die is an important that, you know, dignity of life is respected, that reverence is applied. And so in many ways, cremation became a, hey, gosh, we can do this. And the change in technology is that it also changed the way people dealt with grief, because when you lose your loved one and you were going to bury them, you did that within about a week's period of time, right? All of a sudden you can have the body cremated. It's now created this moment where people could delay a funeral. They could take the remains home. They could, and in some ways that met a human need that we have, which is, I just lost my mom. Mm-hmm. She's been cremated. Holding on to her for a little bit longer actually can feel good. And it's understood that, gosh, that's something we never got to do before, right? And so that's a little bit of maybe explaining. And in fact, most Catholics, even today, we do presentations and someone will come forward and say, when did the church approve this? And I didn't even know it was okay. Or, you know, I had conflicted feelings and I felt like we were supposed to feel kind of guilty if we chose cremation. And the church is not saying that, but as Catholics, yeah, we follow ritual, right? Yeah. So that was one of the challenges that we have in educating people today.
It's such a good point, though, because people do feel guilty about that. I know there's a lot of reasons that drive cremation. My guest today, if you want to join us, maybe somebody you have loved just passed away, or you're even in the process right now of deciding your own will or how you're going to, you know, conduct your own burial, feel free to dial in. You can ask your question to Robert Selig today. The number's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. He is CEO of Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. You can find him at cfcsmission.org, cfcsmission.org. Be back with your questions, comments, and whatever is on your heart regarding the issue when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Connected. Relevant Radio.
With flexible premium life insurance by sponsor Catholic Order of Foresters, a 40-year-old can get $1 million coverage for under $19 monthly. Go to relevantradio.com/Forester. That's relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
Live, coast to coast. A look at life you'll never get anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Well, hey, thanks for joining me. If you're just tuning in, taking a look at burial, I had come across a couple stories. I've been following these stories regarding where we are, where we're heading. You know, cremation, a lot of people go down that route, and that's fine. You know, make sure you bury your loved one in hallowed ground. But I've saw stories recently about everything from allowing people to decompose. You know, we talk about turning them into, you know, liquefying their bodies. People being turned into diamonds, being jettisoned into space, right? There's all of these different things. What does the church teach? I think the essence of this really revolves in the way that we honor our deceased one. It's not a matter of personal preference or cultural practice. It's really an expression of our faith about
the dignity of the human body. And here's the key part, really the hope in our resurrection. That's really, these two things I think are important. The Catholic Church has always taught that the body deserves respectful treatment. Because why? We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We're part of Christ's body. And, you know, one day we are going to be resurrected. We will have these resurrected bodies. So how does it sink if you get jettisoned to the moon or you're turned into a diamond? I'm joined today by somebody who's here to answer a lot of your questions. I only have maybe 10 minutes with him, so I'll do my best to get to the phones and answer your calls. His name's Robert Selig. He's CEO of the Catholic Funeral Cemetery Services, and you can find him at CFCSmission.org. That's a mouthful for me. CFCSmission.org. Let me kick off. I mean, there's all these different types of disposition of the bodies now, how people are disposing of them. The one on Shark Tank, you know, people are being turned into jewelry. I've seen the one where people are turned into diamonds. What have the bishops said about these different and now newly emerging forms of dealing with the corpse or the body itself?
Yeah, Drew, this discussion around all these different technologies. About a year ago, Pope Francis actually asked the U.S. Conference of Bishops to address new technologies that were coming forward, just because there was a need to do some communications for Catholics. And so, the bishops went ahead, their doctrine committee met, and they reviewed not only just our traditional burial practices and cremation, but so they reflected upon what the purpose was of how we, the disposition of the body was, and so that they would then be able to comment on new technologies. So the first thing, like just taking the body or cremated remains and maybe taking part of those remains and making a piece of jewelry, is that, you know, we're not keeping the remains intact. We're not placing them in a sacred place. And we start to kind of, in a sense, hold on to the loved ones and the remains. And in many ways, we're not transitioning where we're placing them reverently, where we can pray for them. And we're also kind of holding on to something, which is really also preventing us from moving to the eternal, to our belief in the resurrection. So, you know, some of the things like human composting was very troubling, because, you know, all of a sudden the body is now in a truckload of soil to be spread across a lawn or placed in the planter. And so that was not the proper disposition, right. Dissolution of the body and flushing part of the body into the sewer system, again, not the reverent disposition of those remains. And so that's how they apply, standards to what new technologies may bring. And it's a way to also then allow Catholics to focus on the reverence that should be placed with remains.
Well said. Let's grab a few telephone calls. We only have a few minutes for you. Lisa's in Salem, Oregon. Lisa, good afternoon. You are on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
I have a question. I have a dear friend of mine who passed away in September, and she's been cremated, and I'm the person taking care of her, wrapping up her estate, and we're having a memorial service for her. Okay. She asked that her ashes be placed under a tree. And her friends think that means we could scatter her ashes under a tree or in a creek nearby. And I think that being placed under a tree is much more respectful. And I think that we should bury her under the tree.
And your question for Robert is, what's the right thing to do?
Would it be okay to scatter her ashes if that's what everyone wants to do? She was not a Catholic. She was not a Christian.
Okay.
She was a professed atheist.
All right. Hey, thank you very much. Robert, do you want to go ahead and address that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, the first thing, that's a difficult situation for yourself to be put into. To in some ways, you know, you're applying your own beliefs to someone that, you know, as you said, professed atheist and friends that said that. So, you know, there are legal provisions that would allow you to follow her direction, right? And so I think you prayerfully need to look at that and do it. We obviously would say in the Catholic Church that, one, we have programs for taking cremated remains and placing them in our cemeteries. We have charitable programs. We call it our All Souls Remembrance Program, where we'll take cremated remains of anyone of any faith and place them in our cemeteries free of charge, because we do see this problem occurring where people are saying, well, let's scatter them. Or in many cases, we actually find that they're being abandoned in funeral homes, or that people are taking them home and don't have the financial ability to place those remains in the cemetery. So the church does have a program to address this. And of course, obviously, you would kind of entrusted in this role has to kind of discern exactly how to navigate that with friends and family.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Patricia's in Illinois. Patricia, hi, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Thank you. My sister wanted to be cremated in October 22. And I didn't really want that. But anyway, we took her, we rented a casket and put the urn in there and had a little visitation before the mass, the funeral mass, and then she was buried in the cemetery. So I just wanted to pass that along.
All right. Well, thank you. A lot of people are torn, aren't they, Robert, over how to treat their loved ones. Some people don't want cremation. Cost is a big thing, and I think that's one of the reasons.
Right.
Is that one of the reasons that the church kind of dialed back on this a little bit too? I mean, in funerals, if you're not prepared, you know, and as you know, this is your industry. I mean, they can be kind of prohibitive for some people, and sometimes people look for the cheaper option. But again, with cremation, the church has really moved on this, and it's okay, but just burying in sacred ground. But your thoughts on the cost of this? Some of these other alternatives are popping up, and some are super expensive, like sending somebody to the moon for $100,000. But
right.
Cost, how does that right. factor in?
Yeah, well, Drew, I'm going to just relate this to a personal story about myself. My dad passed away when I was 4 years old. That was 1969. And my mom was destitute financially. She actually had my dad cremated. And a little bit to the story is, I mean, my dad committed suicide. So that's part of what led me to working in the cemetery ministry. And so at that point in 1969, the church didn't welcome, you know, if you committed suicide, you were not in a state of grace.
Horrible.
And so my mom struggled with that, and she had him cremated, placed in a non-Catholic cemetery because she felt disgraced by everything that happened. And we brought him to a Catholic cemetery years later. And so I very much identify with someone who's dealing with the economic issues or even that sense of confusion that happens with a loved one. The most important thing I recommend to families to think about is not to wait until the moment of passing to make plans for burial or cremation services. Just financially, you can actually plan for your own funeral and the costs that are associated with that, you know, just by planning ahead. And that's probably the one. You're not doing it when you're in a time of duress or stress. You're actually doing it when you're able to kind of think through the steps, and you can work both at your parish church and talk to your priest about it. You can talk to a local, you know, mortuary, and to the cemetery. So I really recommend that as probably our most proactive way to get ourselves educated to make arrangements and to assure the rest of the family about what your wishes are, rather than just leaving it to someone that when you're gone, they have to make those arrangements for you.
First of all, Robert, thank you for sharing that story. I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people who've lost loved ones either by suicide or had the issue of, you know, the financial hardships. And thank you for your yes and for what you're doing. If people want to get connected to you, I'm assuming the website I've been giving out is the best way to connect.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. And please, anyone that's got questions, we have a field there where you can fill out contact information and send us questions. Very happy to help reference people.
Well, check out the Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. The website is cfcsmission.org. CFCS Mission.org, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. My thanks to Robert Seelig for his time today. I'll be right back.